For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? This is the text, my dear brother and sister. God's heart is love. God's heart is full of love, and it's always open to all of his children. It truly defies all human imagination and comprehension that God would love us, that he would have his son die in our place while we were yet enemies of God, while we did not want anything to do with God. We did not want to hear him speak. We wanted no part of him in our life. While we were running away from God, God sets the stage for our reconciliation. It is an accomplished fact. This cannot be changed because God did it. Listen to what Paul writes to Titus. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We are reconciled to God. We are tied to God again. We are back in God's presence. The gate to paradise has been flung wide open for us to march straight in. And as I told the children, through faith, not for being a good boy or a good girl, but through faith in Jesus Christ. That's grace. A little course on theology. The study of theology is divided into four areas. Historic, which is what happened from the beginning until yesterday. Historical theology. Exegetical, you dig into the text in Hebrew and Greek, and then you figure out precisely the depth of these words that God wants us to know. That's exegetical, exegesis, interpretation. Then there is the practical theology that teaches us how to write sermons, how to do funerals and baptisms and go to hospital visits and so forth. And then there is the systematic theology department. Systematic is if you take all of the passages of the Bible about one certain subject and put them all in the same page. You gather them and you classify them. And so it is a system. For example, you have a doctrine of creation. You take all the passages that say that God created the heavens and the earth. And each doctrine has a Bible verse that is the anchor. We call it the seat of doctrine. For example, doctrine of creation, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There it is. God created it. You got to believe that. The sea is his, for he made it. Another seat of doctrine. The seat of doctrine for the redemption is John 3:16. Jesus speaking about himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And then he adds, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world through him, but to save the world through him. That's the seat of doctrine for the doctrine of creation. You were saved through faith, not of your own, but by God's doing. Not by good works, lest anyone should boast. And then there is the doctrine of sanctification. You are declared righteous and reconciled with God. And that is in 1 Corinthians 6:11. You have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit through Christ. You have been washed. You have been justified in the name of Jesus. This here is the seat of doctrine for salvation. Romans 5:10, our text, you are saved. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So it is more than secure, as if we needed any logic or any reason. Jesus saves us. He redeems us. He reconciled us to God. This verse, since you have been reconciled to God, is the seat of doctrine of salvation. A doctrine is a teaching. Doctrine is a fancy word for teaching, what we believe. So a doctrine is to our faith and to the Bible content what a handle is, for example, to a hammer. You could, I suppose, take a hammer and nail something with just a hammer, but it makes much more sense to have a handle on it. You have more control and more power. And if it doesn't work, you just grab a larger hammer and then it'll work. Doctrines are the handles that let you take the Word of God and take it home, so that you can apply it and live it when you're in the living room or in the kitchen or in the family room or in the office or the factory or the classroom, or if you are in the mall or in the restaurant. Everywhere, doctrine helps you hold the Word of God and apply it to the moment. This is fascinating stuff. Luther says on the second article, "For he redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature." He redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. It is in the past redeemed, perfect, done, cannot be changed. What has been done has been done. He redeemed me. Jesus bought me with his blood. In the gospel today, did you catch his sarcasm with his disciples? What can a man give for his life? That's sarcastic. There is nothing. Go, bargain with the devil. See if you can haggle with him. You say, well, I'll give you all the tea in China or all the gold in the world or all the emeralds in Brazil's mines. Still, not even close. The devil will not accept any currency except the blood of the Lamb of God, the innocent, righteous blood of the Lamb of God. That is the correct currency. It's like having the power to acquire your soul. I believe in Jesus Christ, period. That's it. He is lost, he is destroyed, he is pulverized, and you stand for eternity. Still Luther, a lost and condemned creature. While I was lost and condemned, Christ died for us. He has given me heaven while I was not even interested in having heaven, while I had absolutely no comprehension of what life in heaven or paradise might be like. So he brings us along. He has condemned me, that I may be his own, Luther continues. He wants me to himself. He wants me back. When in the person of Adam and Eve, we ran away from him and chose to go by our own standards, by our own ideas, he went after us and said, where are you? Did you? Yep, we did. We ate. We sinned. We ignored your command. We took life in our own hands. And he did not abandon us there, but he promised a way out. I will put enmity between you, serpent, devil, and the woman, and between your offsprings and her offspring. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And that's precisely what happened on a Friday afternoon outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He crushed the serpent's head by giving his innocent life for you and me, that I may live in his kingdom forever and ever and serve him out of gratefulness, not obligation, but because I want to now. He made me good, now I want to be good. He blessed me, now I can be a blessing to the rest of the world. He transformed me from a give me, give me, give me, a taker into a giver. The Lord bless you. What can I do for you? That's the effect, so that I may serve him in his kingdom throughout eternity. Not only here, but also in eternity. We are not going to be relaxed in heaven. We will be working and proclaiming the glory of God throughout the heavenly realms. We will not be idle, but we will be proclaiming the glory of God throughout the heavenly realms to other galaxies. This is exciting stuff. I can't wait. So doctrines, dear friends, are handles. You got the handle on your salvation. It's done. God did it. Now bask in it. Savor it. Enjoy it. Be aware of it. And then share it. Share this faith of yours with as many people as you can. We thank God for systematicians, those professors in the seminaries that poured over the Word of God day in, day out, and put it all in neat little boxes to ease our comprehension and apprehension of the Word of God into our lives. May God continue to bless the church through good systematicians, that we may live our faith with all courage and strength in every day that he gives us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.